Matthew 21. When they had approached Jerusalem and come to Bethpage at the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village opposite you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied there, and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord has need of them,' and immediately he will send them." This took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, gentle and mounted on a donkey, even on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." Then the disciples went out and did just as Jesus instructed them, and brought the donkey and the colt, and laid their coats on them, and he sat on the coats. Most of the crowd spread their coats in the road, and others were cutting down branches from the trees and spreading them on the road. The crowd going ahead of him, and those following were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" When he had entered Jerusalem, all the city was stirred, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." And Jesus entered the temple and drove out all those who were buying and selling in the temple, and overturned the tables of the money changers and the seats of all those who were selling doves. And he said to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer,' but you're making it a den of robbers." And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. But when the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he had done, and the children who were shouting in the temple, "Hosanna, the Son of David," they became indignant and said to him, "Do you hear what these children are saying?" And Jesus said to them, "Yes, have you never read, 'Out of the mouths of infants and nursing babies, you've prepared praise for yourself?'" And then he left them and went out of the city to Bethany and spent the night there. Now in the morning, when he was returning to the city, he became hungry. Seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except for leaves only. And he said to it, "No longer shall there ever be any fruit on you." And at once the fig tree withered. Seeing this, his disciples were amazed and asked, "How did the fig tree wither all at once?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what has been done to the fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and cast into the sea,' it will happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you will receive." When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him while he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to him, "I will ask you one thing, which if you tell me, I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, what was its source, from heaven or from men?" And they began reasoning among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, then he will say, 'Well, then why did you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we fear the people, for they regard John as a prophet." And answering Jesus, they said, "We do not know." He also said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. But what do you think? A man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go to work today in the vineyard.' And he answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterwards he regretted it and went. The man came to the second son and said the same thing, and he answered, 'I will, sir,' but he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you that the tax collectors and prostitutes will get into the heaven of God, or the kingdom of God, before you. For John came to you in the way of the righteous, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did believe him. And you, seeing this, did not even feel remorse afterwards, so as to believe him." Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard and put a wall around it, and dug a wine press in and built a tower and rented it out to the vine growers, and went on a journey. When the harvest time approached, he sent his slaves to the vine growers to receive his produce. The vine growers took his slaves and beat one and killed another and stoned a third. Again, he sent another group of slaves, larger than the first, and they did the same to them. But afterwards, he sent his son to them, saying, 'They will respect my son.' But when the vine growers saw his son, they said to themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance." And they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine growers? They said to him, "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end and will rent out the vineyard to other vine growers who will pay him and give him the proceeds at the proper season." Jesus said to them, "Did you never read in the scriptures? The stone which the builder rejected, this became the chief cornerstone. This came about from the Lord, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people producing the fruit of it. And he who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces, but on whomever it falls, it will scatter him like dust." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard his parable, they understood that he was speaking about them. When they sought to seize him, they feared the people because they considered him to be a prophet. Matthew 22. Jesus spoke to them again in parables, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. And he sent out his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding feast, and they were unwilling to come. Again he sent out other slaves, saying, 'Tell those who have been invited, behold, I've prepared my dinner, my oxen are fattened, and livestock are all butchered, and everything's ready. Come to the wedding feast.' But they paid no attention and went on their way, one to his own farm, another to his business, and the rest seized his slaves and mistreated them and killed them. But the king was enraged, and he sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and set their city on fire. Then he said to his slaves, 'The wedding is ready, but no one of those who was invited, they were not worthy. Go therefore to the main highways, and as many as you will find there, invite them to the wedding feast.' Those slaves went out of the streets and gathered together all they found, both evil and good, and the wedding hall was filled with dinner guests. But when the king came in to look over the dinner guests, he saw a man who was not dressed in wedding clothes, and he said to him, 'Friend, how did you come in here without wedding clothes?' And the man was speechless. When the king said to his servants, 'Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, in the place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen.' When the Pharisees went out and plotted together how they might trap him in what he said. And they sent their disciples to him among the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know you are truthful and teach the way of God and defer to no one. You are not partial to any. Tell us then, what do you think? Is it lawful to give a poll tax to Caesar or not?' But Jesus perceived their malice and said, 'Why are you testing me, you hypocrites? Show me the coin used for the poll tax.' And they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, 'Whose likeness and inscription is this?' Then they said to him, 'Caesar's.' Then he said to them, 'Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but to God the things that are God's.' And hearing this, they were amazed, and leaving him, they went their way. On that day, some Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to Jesus and questioned him, asking, 'Teacher, Moses said, if a man dies having no children, his brother, as next of kin, shall marry his wife and raise up children for his brother. Now, there were seven brothers with us. The first one married and died, and having no children, left his wife to his brother. So also the second and the third down to the seventh. Last of all, the woman died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife of the seven will she be? For they had all married her.' But Jesus answered and said to them, 'You are mistaken, not understanding the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. But regarding the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what is spoken by God? 'I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living.' When the crowds heard this, they were astonished at his teaching. And when the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered themselves together. One of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him, 'Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?' And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and foremost commandment. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depends the whole law and prophets.' Now while the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them a question, "What do you think about the Christ? Whose son is he?" And they said to him, "The son of David." Then he said to them, "Then how does David in the Spirit call him Lord, saying, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I put your enemies beneath your feet'? If David calls him Lord, how is he his son?" No one was able to answer him a word, nor did anyone dare from that day to ask him any more questions. Matthew 23. When Jesus spoke to the crowds and to his disciples, saying, "The scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe, but do not do according to their deeds. For they say things and do not do them. They tie up heavy burdens and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves are unwilling to move them with so much as a finger. But they do not do their deeds to be noticed, but they do all their deeds to be noticed by men. For they broaden their phylacteries and lengthen the tassel of their garments. They love the places of honor and banquets and the chief seats in the synagogues and respectful greetings in the marketplace and to be called rabbi by men. But do not be called rabbi, for one is your teacher and you are all brothers. And do not call anyone on earth your father, for one is your father who is in heaven. Do not be called leaders, for one is your leader, and that is Christ. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. And whoever exalts himself will be humbled, but whoever humbles himself will be exalted. But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you shut off the kingdom of heaven from people, for you do not enter in yourselves, nor do you allow those who are entering to go in. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you devour widows' houses. For a pretense you make long prayers. Therefore you will receive greater condemnation. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you travel around the sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as yourselves. Woe to you, blind guides, who say, 'Whoever swears by the temple, that's nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, it is obligated.' You fools and blind men, which is more important, the gold or the temple that sanctified the gold? And whoever swears by the altar, well, that is nothing, but whoever swears by the offering on the altar is obligated. You blind men, which is more important, the offering or the altar that sanctifies the offering? Therefore, whoever swears by the altar swears both by the altar and everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears both by the temple and by him who dwells within it. And whoever swears by heaven swears both by the throne of God and by him who sits upon it. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you tithe mint, dill, and cumin, and have neglected the weightier provisions of the law, justice, mercy, and faithfulness. But these are the things you should have done without neglecting the others. You blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the dish, but inside it's full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. So you too outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous, and say, 'If we had been living in the days of our fathers, we would have not been partners with them in shedding the blood of the prophets.' So you testify against yourselves that you are the sons of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up then the measure of the guilt of your fathers. You serpents, you brood of vipers, how will you escape the sentence of hell? Therefore, behold, I am sending you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them you will kill and crucify. Some of them you will scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, so that upon you may fall the guilt of all the righteous blood shed on earth, from the blood of righteous Abel to the blood of Zechariah, the son of Barak, who you murdered between the temple and the altar. Truly I say to you, all these things will come upon this generation. "Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together under my wings the way a hen gathers her chicks, but you were unwilling. Behold, your house is being left to you desolate. For I say to you, from now on you will not see me until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Matthew 24. Jesus came out of the temple and was going away when the disciples came up and pointed to the temple buildings out to him. And he said to them, "Do you not see all these things? Truly I say to you, not one stone here will be left upon another which will not be torn down." As he was sitting on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things happen, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "See to it that no one misleads you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will mislead many. You will be hearing of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not frightened, for those things must take place, but that is not yet the end. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and in various places there will be famines and earthquakes. But all these things are merely the beginning of birth pains. Then they will deliver you to tribulation, and they will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations because of my name. At that time many will fall away, and will betray one another, and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise, and mislead many, because lawlessness is increased. Most people's love will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end, he will be saved. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. Then the end will come. Therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountain. Whoever's on the housetop must not go down to get his things out that are in the house. Whoever's in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. Woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days. Pray that your flight will not be in the winter or on a Sabbath. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here is the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you this in advance. So if they say to you, 'Behold, here he is in the wilderness,' do not go out. Or, 'Behold, he is in the inner room,' do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of the sky with power and glory. And he will send forth his angels with a great trumpet, and they will gather together the elect from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other. Now learn the parable from the fig tree. When its branches have already become tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you too, when you see all these things, recognize that he is near, right at the door. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, but the Father alone. For the coming of the Son of Man will be just like in the days of Noah. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying, giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And they did not understand until the flood came and took them all away. So will the coming of the Son of Man be. There will be two men in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, be on the alert, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming. But be sure of this, that if the head of the house had known what time of the night the thief was coming, he would have been on the alert and he would not have allowed himself to be broken into. For this reason, you must be ready, For the Son of Man is coming in an hour when you don't think he will. Who then is faithful and sensible slave, whom his master has put in charge of his household, to give them their food in the proper time? Blessed is that slave, who the master finds so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you, that he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But if that evil slave says in his heart, My master is not coming for a long time, and begins to beat his fellow slaves, and eat and drink with drunkards, the master of the slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, and at an hour when he does not know, and will cut him to pieces and assign him a place with the hypocrites. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Matthew 25. Then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish, and 5 were prudent. For when the foolish one took their lamps, they took no oil with them. But the prudent ones took oil and flasks along with the lamps. Now while the bridegroom was delaying, they all got drowsy and began to sleep. But at midnight there was a shout, Behold, the bridegroom! Come out and meet him! Then those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish ones went to the prudent and said, Give us some of your oil, for our lamps have gone out. But the prudent one answered, No, there will not be enough for us, and you too. Go instead to the dealers and buy some for yourselves. And while they were going away to make the purchase, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding feast, and the door was shut. Later the other virgins also came, saying, Lord, Lord, open up for us. But he answered, Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Be on the alert then, for you do not know the day nor the hour. For it is just like a man about to go out on a journey, who called all his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. One he gave 5 talents, another 2, and another 1, each according to his own ability. And then he went out on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went out and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who had received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents with me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. And the master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. And the master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received the 1 talent came up to him and said, Master, I knew you were a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed, and I was afraid. And I went away and hid the talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. But the master answered and said to him, You wicked and lazy slave! You knew that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter any seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival you would have received my money back with interest. Therefore take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to the one who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even that which he does have will be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them from one another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right hand, and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me, and I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, Well, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, and thirsty and give you something to drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? The king will answer and say to them, Truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. Then he will say to those on his left hand, Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. When I was a stranger, you did not invite me in. I was naked, you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they will say to themselves and answer, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and didn't take care of you? Then he will answer them, Truly, truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. These will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Matthew 26. When Jesus had finished all these words, he said to his disciples, You know that after 2 days the Passover is coming, and the Son of Man is to be handed over for crucifixion. Then the chief priests and the elders of the people will gather together in the court of the high priest named Caiaphas, and they plotted together to seize Jesus by stealth and kill him. But they were saying, Not during the festival, otherwise a riot might occur among the people. Now when Jesus was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper, a woman came to him with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume, and she poured it over his head as he reclined at table. But the disciples were indignant when they saw this, and they said, Why this waste? For the perfume might have been sold for a high price and the money given to the poor. But Jesus, aware of this, said to them, Why do you bother this woman? For she's done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me. For when she poured this perfume over my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I say to you, whenever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. Then one of the 12, named Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, What are you willing to give me to betray him to you? And they weighed out 30 pieces of silver to him. From then on, he began looking for a good opportunity to betray Jesus. Now on the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? And Jesus said, Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, The teacher says, My time is near. I am to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. The disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover. Now when evening came, Jesus was reclining at table with his 12 disciples, and they were eating, and he said, Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me. Being deeply grieved, they each one began to say, Surely not I, Lord. Then when he answered, He who dips his hand with me in the bowl is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man is to go just as it was written of him. But woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had never been born. And Judas, who was betraying him, said, Surely it's not I, Rabbi. Jesus said to him, You have said it yourself. While he was eating, Jesus took some bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, Take, eat, this is my body. And when he had taken a cup, giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink from it, all of you. For this is the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for forgiveness of sins. But I say to you, I will not drink this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. After singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike down the shepherd, and the sheep and the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised, I will go ahead of you into Galilee. But Peter said to him, Even though all may fall away because of you, I will never fall away. Jesus said to him, Truly I say to you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. Peter said to him, Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And all the disciples said the same thing too. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, Sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the other 2 sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. And then he said to them, My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face, and he prayed, saying, My Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. "Yet not as I will, but your will be done." And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping, and said to Peter, "So you men cannot keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying, that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away again a second time and prayed and said, "Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." Again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the disciples and saying to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is being betrayed to the hands of sinners. Get up and let us get going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand." While he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, came up, accompanied by a large crowd with swords and clubs, who came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now he was betraying him, gave the sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he's the one. Seize him." Immediately, Judas went to Jesus and said, "Hail, Rabbi," and kissed him. And then Jesus said to him, "Friend, do what you've come to do." Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. Behold, one of those who was with Jesus reached and drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his ear. And then Jesus said to him, "Put your sword back in its place, for all those who take up the sword will perish by the sword. For do you not think that I can appeal to my Father, and he will at once send me at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? How then will the Scripture be fulfilled, which says that this must happen this way?" At that time, Jesus said to the crowds, "Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as you would a robber? Every day I used to sit in the temple and teaching, and you did not seize me. But all this has taken place to fulfill the Scripture of the prophets." Then all the disciples left and fled. Those who had seized Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were gathered together. But Peter was following him at a distance, as far as the courtyard of the high priest, and entered in and sat down with the officers to see the outcome. Now the chief priests and the whole council kept trying to obtain a false testimony against Jesus, so that they might put him to death. They did not find any, though, even though false witnesses came forward. But later, two came forward and said, "This man said, 'I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to rebuild it in 3 days.'" The high priest stood up and said to him, "Do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you?" But Jesus kept silent, and the high priest said to him, "I adjure you by the living God that you tell us whether you are the Christ, the Son of God." And Jesus said to him, "You have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven." Then the chief priest tore his robes and said, "He is blasphemed! What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you've now heard the blasphemy. What do you think?" They answered, "He deserves death." And they spat on his face and beat him with their fists, and others slapped him. And they said, "Prophesy to us, you Christ. Who's the one who hits you?" Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." When he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to those who were with him, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And again he denied him with an oath, "I do not know the man." A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Behold, before a rooster crows, you will deny me 3 times. And he went out and wept bitterly. Matthew 27. Now when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put him to death. And they bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate the governor. And when Judas, who betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What's that to us? See to it yourself." And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed. And he went away and hanged himself. The chief priest took the pieces of silver and said, "It is not lawful to put them into the temple treasury, since it is the price of blood." And they conferred together, and with the money bought the potter's field as a burying place for strangers. For this reason, that field has been called the Field of Blood to this day. Then that which was spoken through Jeremiah the prophet was fulfilled. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of the one whose price had been set by the sons of Israel, and they gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord directed me. Now Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor questioned him, saying, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said to him, "It is as you say." And while he was being accused by the chief priests and elders, he did not answer. Then Pilate said to him, "Do you not hear how many things they testify against you?" And he did not answer him in regard even a single charge. So the governor was quite amazed. Now at the feast, the governor was accustomed to release for the people any one prisoner that they wanted. At that time, they were holding a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when the people gathered together, Pilate said to them, "Whom do you want me to release for you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ?" For he knew that because of envy they had handed him over. While he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent him a message saying, "Have nothing to do with that righteous man, for last night I suffered greatly in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask for Barabbas and put Jesus to death. But the governor said to them, "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said to him, "Then what shall I do with Jesus, who is called the Christ?" And they all said, "Crucify him." And he said, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they kept shouting all the more, saying, "Crucify him." Then Pilate saw that he had accomplished nothing, but rather that a riot was starting. He took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd, saying, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to that yourselves." And all the people said, "His blood shall be on us and our children." Then he released Barabbas for them. But after having Jesus scourged, he handed them over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole Roman cohort around him. And they stripped him, and they put a scarlet robe on him, and after twisting together a crown of thorns, they put it on his head, and a reed in his right hand, and they knelt down before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they spat on him, and took the reed, and beat it against him on the head. After they had mocked him, they took the scarlet robe off him and put on his own garments back, and they led him away to crucify him. As they were coming out, they found a man of Cyrene called Simon, who they pressed into service to bear the cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which meant place of the skull, they gave him wine to drink mixed with gall, and after tasting it, he was unwilling to drink. And when they had crucified him, they divided up his garments among them and cast lots, and sitting down, they began to keep watch over him there. And above his head they put a charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews." At that time, two robbers were crucified with him, one on his right and the other on his left. And those who were passing by were hurling abuses at him, wagging their heads and saying, "You who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross." In the same way also the chief priests and the scribes were mocking him, saying, "He saved others, but he can't save himself. He's the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross, and we will believe him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now, if he delights in him, for he said, 'I am the Son of God.'" And the robbers who had been crucified with him were also insulting him with the same words. Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon the land until the ninth hour. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" And that is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And some of those who were standing there, when they heard him say, they heard it, began saying, "This man is calling to Elijah. Immediately one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with sour wine and put it on a reed and gave him a drink. But the rest of them said, "Let us see whether Elijah will come and save him." And Jesus cried out with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and rocks were split, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming out of the tombs after the resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. Now the centurion and those who were with him, keeping guard over Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were happening, they became very frightened and said, "Truly this was the Son of God." Many women who were looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Nazareth, from Galilee, were ministering to him. Among them was Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Joseph and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who himself had become a disciple of Jesus. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. When Pilate ordered it to be given to him, Joseph took the body and wrapped it in clean linen cloth and laid it in his own new tomb, which he'd hewn out of the rock. And he rolled a large stone against the entrance of the tomb and went away. And Mary Magdalene was there and the other Mary sitting opposite the grave. Now on the next day, the day after the preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered together with Pilate and they said, "Sir, we remember that when he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days I will rise again.' Therefore, give orders for the grave to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal him away and say to the people, 'He's risen from the dead,' and the last deception will be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard. Go and make it as secure as you know how." And they went and made the grave secure, and along with the guard, they set a seal on the stone. Matthew 28. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn towards the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat on it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he's risen from the dead. Behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly, with fear and great joy, and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshipped him. And Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take my word to my brothers to leave for Galilee, and there you will see me." Now, while they were on the way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests what had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave them a large sum of money to the soldiers, and they said, "You are to say, 'His disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. And if they should come to the governor's ear, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble.'" And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story is widely spread among the Jews, even to this day. But the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. Then they saw him and worshipped him, but some were doubtful. And Jesus came up and he spoke to them, saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age."